from the patients you're not treating?
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. I hope that you are doing well. And we're just getting started here. Sent out my email here. We've got 35 on. I'm sure we'll get some more on here as we go. But lots to talk about today. Somebody asked me a question here. Are you saying Pentecostal Christians are under mind control? Well, I don't think I said that in this, but I think I'm going to explain to you everything you need to know. You're going to have to hang on. I can't type all this in comments. I didn't put all this research in to make a few comments on the side and have a big old Baptist blowout about it. This is an entire teaching that's going to prove the history of who this man is. This one of the fathers of the charismatic movement here in America, and I'm going to prove to you right now that this guy was nothing more than a CIA operative and a stinking witch is all he was. And he had all the markings of a witch, and that's exactly what he was a stinking witch. So can you all hear me okay? I'm making sure I'm coming in loud and clear. I'm tired of these jokers, man. I'm seriously tired of these guys like Paul Kane and all these other false prophets that come in speaking lies and hypocrisy, and they are the fakes. The charismatic movement is the fake version of biblical Christianity. It is the witch's brew, the potion, the mixture of hell. It is a hybrid movement of hell, and I absolutely make no bones about it. I hate it. It is Babylon. It's going to fall one day. It's going to get crushed one day. It is nothing more than the spirit of false prophets, and it is wicked as the devil. And I am so stinking tired of it already. I see them on the street all the time. We come across them. They deceive so many people. I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. Andrew, I did not get your email address added. I'm sorry. I didn't get it added in time. So we'll have to get it again, okay? Next time around, I'll get you added in there. I don't think I got it in there in time for this last email. But this today is like another nail in the charismatic witch's coffin. I mean, it proves that these people are stinking devils. I mean, they are wicked as hell. Wait till I show you this, and you listen from their own people that brag about them, that love them, and who this man was. Oh my goodness, I'm hoping I have enough time in 2 hours to do this. I don't even know if I'm going to have enough time to do it in 2 hours. That's how crazy this is. And this is just really going to cover one man. This really covers that NAR movement. It covers a lot of that, the new breed. But we're going to have to do, I'm going to have to do subsequent messages or broadcasts on this more. I can't get it all in here. There's so much in here that by the time I'm done, I want everybody to understand that that charismatic movement, which most of it is the Pentecostal movement too, most of it is that, they're a bunch of witches. And God will teach you as a Christian the hard way not to trust in feelings, emotions, and everything else. Anyway, but here's what you're gonna have here, is you're just gonna get a small taste, right? A small taste of exactly what's going on. I'll say this person that comes under King James, the name, which doesn't surprise me. Anyway, the person that comes under that name, let me say this to you over here in the comment section before I get started. If you haven't listened to any of my other teachings, shut up. Just be quiet, humble yourself, and go listen to all of the research that has been done and the absolute undeniable proof that is right in front of your face. Listen to it. And then you could come back and you could say something. The problem is that you have this section that comes on here and they want to argue something, but they ignore all of the evidence. And that's what a Pentecostal does for the most part. They ignore all of the evidence that you give them and they go off of their feelings. And it happens all the time. And I'm telling you, the reason they do it, they won't put the effort in to find out exactly if these things are so. They won't research it at all. They won't go through any of those things at all. They just want to argue about it. It's like people on Facebook. It's why I hardly go on there anymore. I repost a few things and I stay off of there. Why? Because they just want to argue. You can't take some small thread and label a couple comments and deal with something as satanic as this and as absolutely wicked as this. But you wait. You're going to hear their own words. You're going to hear where this guy come from. This guy comes from. This Paul Cain. He just died. He just died. And I believe that man is in hell. He is a witch. Was a witch. And that guy is in hell. That guy did everything God told you not to do in the book of Leviticus. Don't be a homosexual. Don't consult evil spirits. Don't talk to angels. Don't communicate with all these people, these beings. Among other things, which we'll get to. I know. Right. Right, Cindy. We've said it all before. We've laid it out there all before. And he's like, say it again. Well, no, go listen to all the research that was done. And by better men than me and more able than me. Right? Better men and more able men than myself have researched this for years. And it's all facts. It's not like it's not historical facts. So we're going to get into a lot of things today. Before we get started, let me remind you of something. That Friday, I'll probably broadcast live from the State Fair, the Minnesota State Fair. And we'll in and out broadcast live. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with all that. I don't know yet what's going to happen. We'll see what God leads us to do. But, you know, we'll have footage from there. And we'll go live sometimes and throughout the next 2 weeks. There. Now, Monday, we'll be back to a normal broadcast time. And Wednesday, Lord willing, will be a normal broadcast time back in this charismatic movement. These issues. And then, again, the following Friday, there will be no broadcast except live broadcasts from the State Fair. Saturday, there may be some live broadcasts from the State Fair. Sunday, probably not, unless I have Luke follow me around as we do like a tract tutorial for you and show you how we hand out gospel tracts and what we do in the public ministry out there. We might do that too. I might do that and put that on there to be a blessing to those folks that are out there. Okay? So, I want you to think about those things and pray for us as we go through there. Satan is going to fight us like you wouldn't believe. Already is fighting us. Already fighting me and all kinds of fun stuff. But God is merciful and he is victorious. Right? Amen? Wow. This is something here. This is something. As we get started with this, you know, here's this guy talking about the new breed and Paul Kane and Todd Bentley, who are two of the creepiest guys in all the world, especially kick grandma in the face with my biker boot, Todd Bentley. What a creepy, weird dude that guy is. And does anybody remember Radical Elephants? Is that what it was called? Radical Elephants? Radical Elephants? Does anybody remember that? Huh? His wife got up there and just started talking about radical elephants or something like that. Do you remember Todd Bentley's wife? Is that what it was called? Well, we know that the Jesuits did start the charismatic mysticism movements because the king of the mystical movement was none other than Ignatius Loyola. You know, so we'll get to Mrs. Radical Elephants in all in due time. Now, what I'm about to show you with all of this is the title says a lot of it. And more could be said. I probably should have changed the title maybe and added in NAR in there, which I probably can right now maybe. Let's see if I can do that. Let's see if that, let's see. There. I edited it. There we go. I added NAR in there. And, yeah. So, we're going to get to some things here today. I just want you to be mindful of this. I don't really particularly like talking about this right now too much. To be honest with you, somebody asked you about Peter Fonda. Not much. I'm sad he's in hell. I don't have anything to say about that. I don't know anything about him. But it, you know, with what we're dealing with today, which is a very important topic, in my opinion, because this is going to show you that, okay, let's do it. Let's follow along the line here. William Branham, and Paul Kane worked together. William Branham was the founder of the Azusa Street. Okay? And the Azusa Street revival, he was called Little Kane, his little brother Kane, and he was part of that movement. Okay? Now, we're going to talk about him today, and we're kind of going to talk about a little bit about the Manifest Sons of God, but I'm glad I kind of didn't put it in the title because I'm going to do something with that probably a little bit later for you to understand who the Manifest Sons of God are. But they embody the whole movement of pretty much the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation. They embody all of that movement. And they kind of went down there. But this guy right here, which is common of all the cults, which, did you hear that? I said which is common. Isn't that funny? Did anybody catch that? I thought that was pretty neat, even though I didn't do it on purpose. Thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, but when we look at this, we understand that all of these people had this mystical, occultic type power and desire for power, and they all craved that power. They didn't really want to serve God in spirit and in truth, but they craved this power. Now, Paul Kane is definitely a weird dude, okay? In reading about him, he's kind of weird, okay? But witches are weird. So I'm going to start out, let's see here. Oh, I'm past all this. Look at that. You know, I'll start kind of with this. It's kind of the whole movement of the New Order of the Latter Rain. It's the Latter Rain movement. I mean, it's really hard to nail this down to one or two different topics. So, but what this is going to do is show you exactly where these people are from. And you're going to see some things like remote viewing in this broadcast. You're going to see it, thank the Lord. You're going to hear about it. You're also going to hear about the fact that three different presidents hired this man, that he was a CIA operative, that he worked for the government. Okay? And his own life was a wicked life. And it was everything that Paul warned us about. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. The man was celibate his whole life until he was a homosexual. Okay? The Manifest Sons of God, we're going to start with them. Then I'm going to show you a video of of Paul Kane. And then when I show you this video of Paul Kane, we're going to get into who the man was. We're going to talk about him back and forth, all right? And I'm going to show you some other things about him, his connections with the modern day movement of these new breeds, he called them. Okay? And then you're gonna find out then you're going to find out exactly what spirit is behind this charismatic movement. The people that he worked with, Mike Bickle, Rick Joyner, the orders of the Roman Catholic Church, Knights of Malta, or Knights of, I think it was Rick Joyner's a Knight of Malta. I'm not going to talk about him today, but I believe he's a Knight of Malta. All right? These other orders that these men were a part of. Okay? So the Manifest Sons of God theology was associated with the new order of Latter Rain and the Sharon School. One of the proponents of it was George Warnock, who had attended the July 1948 camp meeting and was hired on the staff of the school and church in 1949. In 1951, he published the Feast of Tabernacles. Prior to coming to Sharon, Warnock was the personal secretary of Ern Baxter, an associate of William Branham. So you see the connection to the charismatic witch, William Branham. The connections are, go always back to Azusa. They always go back there to Azusa Street. Always, always, always. You find them in a line going back there. Somehow, some way, they go back there. Some of the features of this theology are as followed. Now listen, this, oh. You know what I should have put in here? I should have put in here, and I don't know if there's room for it, and I might just put it in here right now. I should have added, Joel's Army, right? Because Joel's Army, and I'm going to do a broadcast probably on Joel's Army, okay? I'm probably going to, but I'm going to add Joel's Army in there because I want people to find this. I want them to find this and see exactly what this is. But we're going to talk about Joel's Army sometime in the near future. But we're going to talk about it today, too. We have to. We kind of have to talk about it because it's all a part of it. But we certainly won't be able to go too deep into it. We'll save that for another broadcast, okay? Here's what they believed. Some of the features of this theology are as follows. There will be a restoration of the fivefold ministry described in Ephesians 4:11, including the offices of apostle and prophet. These will carry out the supposed purpose of the church, which is to establish the kingdom of God on earth. Certain believers will become manifested as the sons of God and be perfected and immortalized. These manifest sons of God would receive the spiritual bodies mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15. By the way, that happens at the resurrection. That doesn't happen on earth. They would become immortal and receive a number of divine gifts, including the ability to change their physical appearance. Like the sons of God do. Angels can change their appearance. Fallen ones can change their appearance. Right? To speak any language? Are you listening to me? To teleport from one place to place? And to perform divine healings and other miracles. They would complete the Great Commission, spreading the gospel throughout the world, and at last usher in the millennial reign of Christ. That's under the Latter Rain Movement, Wikipedia. Joel's army will be composed of perfected Christians, they say, who will conquer and dominate the world preceding the return of Christ. This is based on a spiritualization of Joel's prophecy. The Feast of Tabernacles is spiritualized and believed to describe the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth prior to Christ's return. Now, I'm going to give you, by way of caution, okay? Here's the caution. You be careful. All these Pentecostals are dragging people back to the Jewish feast. The Hebrew Roots movement is tied into this Pentecostal movement, tied into these charismatics. And they all want to drag you back into the Old Testament. They want to drag you back into the things that Christ has already fulfilled. And they want to take you back into that and bring you back under the condemnation of the law. Right? Back in shadows of types and not in the substance, which is Christ. Do I need to celebrate a feast of tabernacles or anything else? No, Christ fulfilled all of those. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my God. He is the one that fulfilled those Old Testament types and prophecies. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Who came in the flesh? God manifest in the flesh. All right, here we go. George Warnock, a proponent of manifest sons of God theology in the 1950s, taught this as follows. The Old Testament feasts typify the whole church age, beginning with the death of Jesus on the cross and the consummating and the manifestation of the sons of God, the overcomers who will become perfected and step into immortality in order to establish the kingdom of God on earth. Doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. Doesn't say that anywhere. Churches will unify, they say, and come under the authority of the apostles and the prophets. So destroy that local church, right? Well, that seems to be going on right now, and set up some quasi-authority of false apostles. Churches will unify, they say. That's what they say. And the true church would coalesce with citywide churches under the leadership of the newly restored apostles and prophets. Right? So we're going to come to a man named Paul Cain. Paul Cain is considered a legend among the Pentecostal charismatic movement. And he is a great representative of who they are. I'm going to say that again. He is a great representative of who the charismatic movement really is. He defines what they are. Okay? He defines what they are. Now, Paul Cain, who was associated with William Branham in the 1950s, was aligned with the late John Wimber in the Vineyard Movement in the 90s, has taught many aspects of the manifest sons of God doctrine. He says, I want you to know he's coming to the church before he comes for the church. He's going to perfect the church so the church can be the image, be him, and be his representative. Where does that say that in the Bible? Not one place. See how they make it up in their feelings? It's their feelings. Here's what he says about Joel's army. Are you ready? If you're really in the vine, if thou be the Son of God, if thou... Do you hear the hiss of the serpent? You've got to show this. You've got to do this. If you don't do this, then are you really in the vine? If you're really in the vine and you're the branch, then the life from the Son of the Living God keeps you from cancer. Keeps you from dying. Keeps you from death. Not only will they not have diseases, they will also not die. They will have the kind of imperishable bodies that are talked about in the 15th chapter of Corinthians. This army is invincible. If you have intimacy with God, they can't kill you. There will be a manifestation of the sons of God. And it won't be this baloney that we've heard of in the past. I'm talking about a true manifested son of God. God wants us to realize once again in closing that there's going to be a great company of overcomers prepared for this mighty ministry, which I call the prize of all the ages. Paul Cain, Joel's Army, cited in documentation of the aberrant practices and teachings of the Kansas City Fellowship, 1990. Okay. So we're going to get back to Mr. Cain here. From David Cloud's works here. We'll get back to him. I'm going to really show you some things that will probably knock your socks off. I know they did mine. I was like, what in the world is that all about? All right, kids, here we go. This is a video that is in tribute to Paul Cain. And it's a very revealing video. Right?
Welcome to Grant and Hope's podcast, where we explore themes around the prophetic and the supernatural. As staff at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, we desire to equip the saints for the work of ministry in the power of God.
Okay, I want you to notice something. This right here is Paul Cain. He's with Bill Clinton, right? Clinton there, he's with Eric Clinton there. He's with Saddam Hussein. Okay.
Remembering Paul Cain. On February 12, 2019, Paul went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, well, I don't believe that. I think he went to hell.
Paul was born in Texas in 1929. While still in his mother's womb, an angel appeared to his mother with a message from the Lord. The fruit of your womb is a male child. Name him Paul. He will preach the gospel as the Apostle Paul of old, and he will prophesy to kings and presidents. All of this came to pass exactly as it was told. In 1985, while the...
Okay, hang on a second. So he says that an angel came to his mother, told him what to name this guy, right? Told him what to name him. Okay. Named him that. And by the way, I'm going to get into more of his history of what he said. This man was visited by devils. And so was his mother.
Central Intelligence Agency's project Stargate was in full swing. Dr. Cain was contracted as a remote viewer by George H.W. Bush's administration.
Hold the phone. Hold the phone. George H.W. Bush contacted him to be a remote viewer. Do you understand what that means? Remote viewing is the practice of seeking impressions about a distant or unseen target, purportedly using extra ESP or sensing with the mind. Remote viewing experiments have historically been criticized for lack of proper controls. Okay, ESP. Right? In early occult and spiritualist literature, remote viewing was known as telethesia, traveling clairvoyance. Do you understand that? They hired a stinking psychic. He's supposed to be a Christian. Seeing remote or hidden objects clairvoyantly with the inner eye or in an allegedly out-of-body travel. So he's astral projecting or he's seeing things. He's seeing things in his mind. Okay? Think about this. By the way, this is Operation Stargate. That's what it's called. It's called Operation Stargate. They hired this man for visions, right? And remote viewing and for astral projection and everything else. Oops.
During the Clinton administration, Paul Kane got the number of Air Force One by revelation. The Lord allowed him to call and talk to President Clinton.
Did you hear what he said? He said he got the president's phone number on Air Force One by divine revelation. That God showed him President Clinton's phone number for Air Force One, and he called it.
Two terms, President Clinton tasked him to travel to Iraq on several top secret missions of national urgency. Paul met with Saddam Hussein. Paul prophesied to kings and presidents. I was thinking about Paul Kane, and I was thinking about just a memory that I have of when I first met him. It was back in October 2010. I was a third-year Bethel student, and it was after a Sunday night service. I and a couple of friends, we went down to In-N-Out Burger, like you do after Sunday night service. And I had the amazing privilege and honor to sit in with a small group of students with Paul Kane just on one of the tables on the outside of In-N-Out Burger. And Paul just sat outside at a table. I think there ended up being about 20 or so Bethel students just listening in intently to some of his amazing stories. And the thing I remember most about that time was there was not a whole lot of serious stories. It felt more like hearing from your friendly grandpa just cracking jokes, which is really refreshing. But one of the things that Paul said, that when it was just me and my other friend who first talked to him, he said that I reminded him of the actor from Gilligan's Island, which I thought was really funny. I was like, okay, that's funny. But Paul told us just about one of the things I remember is he told us about the heart of President Bill Clinton and his genuine heart for the Lord.
Okay. President Bill Clinton's genuine heart for the Lord? Did anybody just hear that? It's because they have the same spirit. That's why. They have the same spirit.
And when Paul first met President Bill Clinton, he told Bill, "I don't like politicians, hypocrites, and heretics." And President Clinton asked him, "In that order?" In that order? Paul said, "Yes." But Paul first met President Bill when he was president-elect in the early 1990s. And I found a conversation from Paul with Bill, very, very revealing Bill's heart for God and trust in the supernatural in this conversation. Here's the quote from this is what Bill told Paul Kane. "I believe in the prophetic more than most people believe I would. I believe in the prophetic more than you may think I do, Paul. I believe that if there ever was an assassination attempt on my life, I believe God would show you any plans before, ahead of time. In fact, I'm going to give you every single one of my contact numbers and ways to get a hold of me. So if God does warn you, you have full access to talk to me at any time." Wow. Imagine hearing from the leader of the free world, "Hey, here is all of my emails. Here is my secret phone numbers for you. I believe in the prophetic gift that God put on your life. I'm all ears, baby. Let me know. If you hear anything, we can chat. Call me anytime. I need to hear from God on life-altering events." So the interesting thing is the government went on to use Paul to speak to world leaders and hear accurate words of prophecy and words of knowledge for leaders of nations. So Paul became an inside information sharer from a friend they may have not even known yet.
Think about this. So the government hires him, Operation Stargate, right? They hire him to do what he's doing, and he's a CIA operative, a clairvoyant. He's hired, right? And only a charismatic could make Bill Clinton sound like he believed in the God of the Bible right there. Do you see? Only a charismatic could do that. That guy said nothing about the Lord. He said, I like your mojo. Give me some of your mojo power. When you got it, you got it, okay? So if something talks to you, let me know.
I was remembering Paul's Stadium Christianity visions and words this morning. About 30 years ago, the Lord gave Paul a vision that has occurred to Paul more than 100 times and often reoccurred. There's no news but good news tonight. It is a vision of the last days when sports stadiums all over the United States are filled with thousands of people. In this vision, people are being healed and miracles are happening to thousands in the name of Jesus Christ. People are turning to the Lord in droves and the whole nation is in revival. It seemed the whole world was turning to Christ. In these visions that Paul had, he would often see television news reporters broadcasting stories of resurrections and miracle healings. None of the secular reporters could even get near the men on the platform. They did not know who the men were. Paul described them as almost faceless men. That's where there's a tagline of in the a lot of the charismatic circles of the nameless and faceless generation. In these visions, Paul would hear a TV anchorman saying, there are no sporting events to report tonight because all the stadiums, the ballparks, and the arenas are being used for large revival meetings and are filled with people crying out, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. In these visions, Paul saw these people minister for 3 days and nights without food or water or even a change of clothing. Supernatural strength enabled them to continue for these long periods. And I'm also just looking for the day in which Paul saw even Arrowhead Stadium here in Kansas City filled for worship and healing unto the glory of Jesus.
Right. So he's basically saying that the gospel is that, you know, people are healed and that they're all going to gather into one stadium. And well, I don't believe that's what's going to happen. I do believe that's what's going to happen. But it's going to be the Antichrist that fills those stadiums. It's going to be the Antichrist that fills those. That's what's going to happen. That's the end time rise of the Spiritism and the visions that this man sees. Or saw. Right?
I want to leave you in this time with the actual, there's a recording of Paul given this word. So take some time to listen to this and just let it sink in and ask the Lord to show you more.
What if God poured out of heaven some kind of a great outpouring and his sovereignty and righteousness and justice and love and his eternal life and omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence and immutability and veracity just dumped all over you, Azusa?
Well, let's stop there and say that God doesn't do that. Okay, we don't get omniscience. We don't get omnipresence. We don't get those things. What if God did that? What if God dumped all that on you? Well, God doesn't work that way. God works according to what his word says. God doesn't give you those attributes. There are some attributes, the fruit of the Spirit that we have, that come from God, that will come in our lives and will grow in those things. But God doesn't give you his attributes of who he is. There is no instruction in the Bible for us to pray, please, God, give me omnipresence today. Please, God, give me omnipotence today. Please, God, let me walk through walls today. Please, God, let me have immortality today. We have immortality, but it's granted to us. God is inherently immortal. We will one day be immortal. Right? So there's nothing in the scriptures that tells us to pray for those things or to wait for God. When the apostles received power from on high, it wasn't to be omnipotent. It wasn't to be omnipresent. It wasn't to be omniscient and all-knowing. That's trying to take who God is.
The street was instituted, and people went there, and they beheld the baptizer and became the baptized, and then they beheld the healer and became the healed, and then all of a sudden, God has saved the best for the last. The Jesus people came in because they beheld the Savior and became the saved. Look out, California, there's something greater than a tidal wave. There's something greater than a gigantic, charismatic earthquake coming. God will shake the earth once more, and His glory is about to be revealed in His people, sons and daughters of God.
So what's he saying? Absolutely nothing. Empty rhetoric. That's not preaching the word of God. That's not calling men to repentance. That's not encouraging them to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, to live a holy life, to live separated unto God, to love Him and to keep His commandments and to love one another with a pure heart fervently. No, what is it doing? Hippity hop, hippity hop, hippity hop. It's nothing more than the same old tired stuff that goes on in motivational speaking. It's Joel Osteen, your best life now stuff. Man, there's a tidal wave coming. I'm telling you, California, tidal wave come bigger than you ever had in your life. Yeah, okay. Right? No, they're really... It's like you're always waiting for something big. You can't just serve God day in and day out and be faithful to God. Right? It's got to be something big. It's got to be Donald Trump. Hey, Donald Trump's on the thread. It's got to be Donald Trump type big. It's got to be big. It's going to be big. It's going to be great. It's going to be big and beautiful. That wall's going to be big and beautiful. It's going to be great. All right, let's keep going.
Are going to be introduced in this meeting. Something's going to come so strong to you that you won't even know that there be any baptism of the Holy Ghost compared to the enormous baptism you're about to receive. I tell you, that cloud is coming. That cloud is coming, for they will be the faceless generation.
Yeah, how do you know? Where does it say that in the Bible? That crowd, I'm telling you, that crowd's coming. Where? The only one we see coming are Antichrist super soldiers that are going to turn on the saints of God and are going to persecute the saints. Right? Telling you what, you're going to be Superman. You're going to start flying pretty soon. In your dun-dun-duns.
Of men who will stand on a platform with thousands and multitudes and masses all about, and the news media, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, will be saying, ladies and gentlemen, we have no news tonight to report the good news. The whole world is going mad over Jesus. They're falling on their face and saying Jesus is Lord. And all, there are no sports news tonight because all the football stadiums and all the ballparks and all the coliseums are filled overflowing with thousands gathering. And they're saying we have a resurrection over here. And then twisted mangled body.
We have a resurrection over here. And all these people are yelling. And like, this is great, man. This is good preaching right here. No, it isn't. He's not saying anything. He's telling you about all these good things that are going to happen to you. And I see a lot of good things for you. And I see a lot of good things, like, in your future. Like, it's going to be great. I see, like, ponies and rainbows. Right? Cotton candy. I'm sorry. It's just so, like, I can't believe people show up to church to hear this stuff. Because we're waiting for the radical elephants. We're waiting for the huge downpour, and it's coming. right? And all I can think of is Benny Hinn's wife right now running across the stage. That's all I can think of right now. And Todd Bentley's wife screaming radical elephants. That's all I can think about when I hear this stuff. Right? Oh, my goodness.
Bodies are being made straight. And then the news announcers are saying, ladies and gentlemen, we don't know who these people are. They're almost faceless. And they're speaking great wisdom. And they're speaking things that are bringing about resurrections and bringing about healings. And I want you to know it will happen, my friends. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will once again become the first line of defense. She'll be the only cure for AIDS. She'll be the only cure for communicable diseases that medical science will never be able to heal.
Where does it say that the church is going to do all those things in the scriptures? No, it's Satan that offers you immortality in your flesh. Right? Genesis chapter 3. You all know the verses. Genesis chapter 3. That Satan is offering. Man, I can't get this right here. What's going on? All right. Genesis chapter 3. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. There it is. Right? There it is. Satan's promise of immortality in the flesh.
I want to share a segment from the book Some Said It Thundered that really captures the essence of the kind of guy that Paul Kane was. So here it is. We're beginning to hear the strangest of stories concerning Paul Kane. My curiosity was getting the better of me, and I was determined to find out why this gentle and humble man with the silver hair and the sometimes golden tongue was held in such high esteem by these people. Mike Bickle had warned us to beware if we wanted to get the real truth. When it came to encounters with God, Paul was a...
Mike Bickle. Well, let me warn you something about Mike Bickle. Stay away from that devil.
...master of the understatement, intended to downplay everything. Paul does not want to be referred to as a prophet. He does not like anything that might tempt him to think more highly than any Christian ought to think of himself. He especially abhors anything that hints of superstardom in the church. His master and model is Jesus Christ, who made himself of no reputation. People might try to put Paul Kane on a pedestal. That would be counterproductive to the message Paul is bringing to the church. That the days of the superstars is over, that God will not share the glory that belongs to him, and that he is looking for humility. He sees that God is deliberately operating today through a new breed of workers, ordinary, dedicated.
The new breed, right? Well, what was so ordinary about, what's his face? I don't remember his name. Okay, well, let's get into more about Paul Kane here. All right, that video is pretty much done. I want you to read about this book. It's called Paul Kane, A Prophet in the Hall of Kings. He is Dr. Paul Kane, evangelist and public speaker for over 60 years, former senior diplomatic advisor for the Washington Federal News Service, consultant to CIA, DIA, Intelligence Agency, Paranormal Division, consultant to the FBI, National Center for Intelligence and Counterterrorism, and presidential consultant and special envoy for three presidents. Right? This book, Paul Kane, A Prophet in the Hall of Kings, is not a full-scale biography, though it does sketch a personality portrait with some key moments in his life. Instead, this book mostly focuses on foreign policy with an emphasis on the Iraq of Saddam Hussein's era and the Middle East, Readers will be taken inside the meeting that he had with foreign diplomats, several presidents, their staffs, key advisors, and close friends. While still in his mother's womb, an angel appeared to his mother with a message from the Lord. That's his words. The fruit of your womb is a male child. Name him Troas Paul. He will preach the gospel as the Apostle Paul of old. He will prophesy to kings and presidents. All of this comes to pass exactly as it was told and is continuing to unfold even now. In 1985, while the Central Intelligence Agency, Project Stargate, was in full swing, Dr. Kane was contacted as a remote viewer by George H.W. Bush's administration. For two terms, President Clinton tasked him to travel to Iraq on several top-secret missions of national urgency. Unknown to Dr. Kane, President Clinton, or Saddam Hussein, decisions they made would set in motion the chain of events that would topple Middle Eastern leaders, send a wave of Islamic fundamentalist terrorism coursing towards America, and set in motion the end of days. You must find out what Saddam meant when he told Dr. Kane, President Clinton is the hope of Iraq and the hope of the world. Starting to see what kind of spirit these folks had? Right? Now, let's get into a little bit more about Paul Kane. Okay? So you see that he was we see the CIA connection. It's admitted everywhere. Wikipedia, if we go there. Let's see. Let's see if it says here on his page. Oh, it doesn't say it on his Wikipedia page. But we'll show you. We'll show you. On. Not that page. This page. Over 50 years ago, William Branham, George Warnock, Paul Kane, and others attempted to introduce the Latter Rain Manifest Sons of God. Okay? Later, the Assemblies of God said it was heresy and a cult. All right? Disregarding the Assembly of God's decision, Paul Kane, the Kansas City Prophets, and the Vineyard Ministry have subsequently reintroduced and successfully established the false doctrine in the Pentecostal churches. Paul Kane is seen by many supporters of today's renewal revival movements as a modern-day apostle or prophet. So we talked about that a little bit. Paul Kane was instrumental in founding the Kansas City Fellowship, as it was known at the time, a church based on the teachings of the Latter Rain theology. Kane headed the controversial KC Prophets. So, yeah, exactly. As pointed out by Gruen in documentation of the aberrant practices and teachings of Kansas City Fellowship, Kane is often referred to Joel's Army of God, Men and the Manifested Sons of God, as the man-child of Revelation 12:5. Let's go to Revelation 12:5, kids. Okay. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God, and so to his throne. You see how they're stealing Christ's heritage? Right? We know the nation of Israel birthed Christ, right? We know, obviously, that Mary was the vessel that was used, but we know that Christ came through the nation of Israel. And what we see here is a blasphemy of that. So he is saying, he takes the credit for it and says, no, that's going to be this army. That's who the man-child is. You ever heard these Pentecostals say it? You got to birth the baby. You got to get it out. You got to birth the baby. Mm-hmm. Bunch of devils. Now, let me, before we get to the demise of him and what happened to him there, right, exactly. Let me get to Paul Kane and some of his spurious doctrines and things that he held to. Paul Kane, born in 1929, is the most renowned of the Pentecostal New Prophets. He claims, now listen, he claims that the angel of the Lord first visited him when he was 8 years old, and that he has experienced countless visions and revelatory dreams and angelic visitations since then. So what does he do? He says that an angel came and told him things. Okay. Now, show you this here. So we remember this. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Right? But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any of the gospel to you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Though we are an angel from heaven. And why is that? Because look at this. Second Peter 1:19. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, holding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he has spoken unto us in these last days by his Son. Okay, 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit. Do you know you're not supposed to believe every thought and feeling that you have go through your mind and your body? Every bit of worry and fear and anxiousness and anxiety and doubts. But you're to believe the written word of God, not the thoughts. When your thoughts don't add up to the Bible, you need to chuck your thoughts and change them. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out of the world. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherever you have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Right? It's already in the world. Right. And you know something? Most of the time our doubts and fears, they don't add up to what the Bible says. Because salvation is God's promise, not yours. So when God promises us something, we trust him for his name's sake, for who he is. And God doesn't change his mind. God said, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Right? So we don't believe every feeling or thought we have, or, you know, our minds are fallen. If you ever go through any grief or trauma or depression or darkness, what you'll understand about your mind is God begins to show you more and more as a saved person not to trust your own thoughts and mind, and shows you how much you've actually been depending on them, or how much they've taken kind of charge of you or whatever. And you have to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You got to walk in the Spirit. Denying the flesh is warring against your own mind sometimes. As hard as that may sound, but it's true. You have to fight against depression and discouragement and all those things. You have to fight against them. You can't believe every spirit. Can't believe every thought. Right? But believe God's word and stick to that. Hold to the word of God. Hold fast. Amen? Hold fast. All right, let's keep going. He claims that the angel of the Lord first visited him when he was 8 years old, and that he experienced all these visions. He began conducting healing campaigns at age 18 and was on the prominent names of the Pentecostal healing revival of the late 40s and 50s. He was an associate of William Branham and on at least one occasion took over a meeting for Branham. In 1954, he purchased an 8,000-seat gospel tent from Jack Coe's ministry and toured the country. He also had large meetings in Switzerland and Germany. Cain says that when he was in his early 20s, the angel of the Lord called him to be celibate, to a celibate unmarried life. He said that he was driving his Lincoln Continental in Southern California in the 1950s when the Lord, dressed as a monk, appeared in the passenger seat. All right, now, Jesus never in the Bible dressed like a monk. All right? So this guy's saying, well, there I was, driving my Lincoln Continental down the road, and I looked over, and Jesus appeared to me. And he was dressed like a monk. Well, I got a question for you. What in the world did you think that was Jesus for? What gave you the idea that that was Jesus Christ going to appear to you as a monk? Am I the only one that thinks that's insane? Okay. So he's in his Lincoln Continental cruising down the road in California in 1950 when the Lord, put that in quotes, dressed as a monk, appeared in the passenger seat. In the ensuing conversation, the Lord indicated to him that he should cut off his marriage engagement with a young woman and live celibately. First Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in verse 1 that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Forbidding to marry. Right? It's a doctrine of devils. Celibacy in Rome, the doctrine of devils. Right? What does it lead to? More homosexuality, pedophilia, and all kinds of other things. That's where all the homosexuals went. They just went to the Roman Catholic Church. Why? Because God meant for you to have normal affection and be married and have a wife. When you bottle up all those affections and you don't, and you're not saved, by the way, and you got a bunch of devils you're talking to all the time, you're going to turn into some kind of queer. Okay. So God told him to break off his engagement, he said. Well, how do you know God told you that? Oh, because I had a vision. After the Lord had finished discussing some other matters with him, Paul felt it was a good opportunity to raise the question of his recent engagement to be married. So he told the Lord about it and asked, "What do you think of it, Lord? You don't seem very pleased. Do you want me to be married?" The Lord looked at him again and repeated softly, "I walked alone." Okay. Now, if Jesus comes looking like a monk, or in your mind, well, no, he said it was a vision, like he saw him there. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. So some antichrist devil appeared, right, in a monk's outfit. Follow me now. Try to stay with the conversation here, folks. Try not to get off on anything on the Gulf of Tonkin and all the other stuff. Try to stay on topic here. We're talking about this. We can get into conspiracies and all those other things and all that stuff later. Try to stay with me here, okay? I want you with me here. I want you to follow this. Focus, Pinky. Focus. All right? So here we go. So here's a man that is sitting in a car, and he says this monk appears to him in his seat and tells him that he's Jesus. And he says softly, "I walked alone." All right, I want to show you something. Some comment just reminded me of this while you're talking about this. "Believe it not," she said. And that's right. By the way, you're told that twice. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. You're told it twice. "Believe it not," twice, about the Antichrist and about appearances of Jesus. Look at this. Then Matthew 24, 23. "Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Well, Paul Cain was deceived because he wasn't the elect. "Behold, I have told you," that's why he appeared unto him. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Right here, secret chambers. Believe it not. Right? Believe it not. Okay, here he said. So he looked at him and said, I walked alone. I just don't think Jesus ever talked like that. Not ever. Lord, said Paul, if you don't want me to be married, I'm willing to give up the idea, but you will have to do something about my feelings. Okay. What is Paul admitting to here? That he's a normal man, that he needs normal affections, and that he should have married that young woman. But his feelings and his visions and the devils that he had talked him out of it. Right? He goes on to say this, the Lord replied by simply placing his hand upon him. All right, now listen. If I'm sitting in a car and something appears to me and it's dressed like a monk and it says I'm Jesus and then it tells me not to get married, right? And then it touches me. Oh, you better believe I'm freaking out. Like I'm screaming for Jesus in the Bible. I'm reading Bible. I'm calling out to God. Right? There ain't no way in the world. I mean, if that thing just appeared to me, I'd be praying like you and like nobody's business. But they don't appear to Christians. They're not gonna. They appear to Spiritists. And that's what this world is setting up. And that's what the charismatic movement is setting up. Are they the manifest sons of God? The fallen ones. They're going to have the spirits of Antichrist in them. And they're going to take the mark so they get the anointing that they want. Because they want the anointing and they want the power. They don't want the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They don't want to be crucified to the flesh. They don't want to die of cancer. Nobody does, I understand. But they're not willing to take up their cross and follow Christ. They're not willing to deny their flesh, take up their cross, and follow Christ. Okay, ready? So the Lord replied, he said. The Lord replied by simply placing his hand upon him. To Paul. Can I show you something here? I just want to show you something here. Wow, 15 times that's in there. Let's see. Okay. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What's that mean? I don't know Christ after my feelings in the flesh. I'm not waiting for him to physically touch me. Right? We know we're saved by the new spirit that he gives in us, that he puts in us, and the change that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we ought to ask God to forgive us daily for doubting that when we do his work in us. And stop wanting feelings and emotions and signs and wonders. Right? Okay, so to Paul, it felt as though fire passed right through his body. Okay, so the guy says fire went through him, right? From that day to this, he says, he has never experienced any further sexual desire. That was Paul's initiation into celibacy, said David Tykes. Some said it thundered, page 40 to 41. Now listen, David Cloud says this, if this visitation actually occurred, it was a demonic visitation, as it is a doctrine of demons to forbid marriage, 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Okay, can I show you something? So he said God had healed him. Or took away all sexual desire from him. But look at this. Sadly, in a special bulletin posted on the website of Rick Joyner that night of Malta, Jack Deere and Mike Bickle, that witch, in February 2004, we were made aware that Paul had become an alcoholic. In April 2004, we became aware that Paul is a practicing homosexual. When confronted with the evidence of these sinful practices, Paul admitted to them and agreed to the process of restoration, which the three of us would oversee. However, because Paul has continued to drink and pursue immoral practices, and after having exhausted the first two steps of Matthew 18, 15 through 17 process, we now have a responsibility to bring this before the church. Okay, who's the church? This is all supposed to be done in a local New Testament church. Bring it before the worldwide, universal, invisible church out there. It's ridiculous. We also want to apologize to the body of Christ for our part in promoting and elevating Paul's stature in the church while having these significant strongholds in his life. The signs that these problems existed were abundant, and we had an obvious lack of discernment and failed to see them until this year. We have received a considerable education through this situation, the principles of which we will share in due time with the hope that others will not make our same mistakes. Note, the above quote was found and copied in Rick Joyner's website, 2004. We agree with their expressed hope to see Paul Kane restored and agree that, as they put it, we therefore do not believe that Paul has committed anything that places him beyond the grace of God. However, we do note that Rick Joyner, Mike Bickle, Jack Deere have often been approached by Christians who have expressed concerns regarding their theology and practices. Paul Kane, in 2005, posted a letter of confession on his website in which he acknowledges the issues brought by Rick Joyner. He said, I have submitted to a team of leaders in the body of Christ who are supervising every aspect of my restoration. This team is headed by Larry J. Alberts, Father and Families Together, and Dr. Daniel J. Kim, Destiny Training International, El Monte. Larry has considerable experience in restoration ministry and has been requested by leaders such as John Wimber, Rick Joyner, and Francis Frangipane to help restore highly significant ministers in the body of Christ. Daniel directs a training center which emphasizes on biblical spirituality and prophetic reformation. Why do you need prophetic reformation? Right? I have submitted to Larry and Daniel to develop an appropriate program involving professional treatment so that I may walk in moral purity, spiritual and physical health and wholeness of life. Right? So Paul, he went ahead with his manifest sons of God. So that spirit that came to him, right? That was a devil that touched him and made him a homosexual. No, didn't make him one, but just pushed him to be one. Right? Well, that's not the only visions that he had, okay? Or visitations. Like William Branham before him, Cain has the occultic gift of clairvoyance, or soothsaying, and knows details of strangers' lives. This has convinced many of his authenticity as a prophet. Now listen to this. Because what you're basically going to find is generational witchcraft. Doesn't it make sense that generational witches would latch onto the charismatic movement? In fact, I don't remember where it was. It was on a website. I found this witch that was promoting witchcraft that was a charismatic as well. And she was promoting witchcraft. Paul's mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother had all been born with the gift of seeing. His mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. He's the fourth. With the gift of seeing. His great-grandmother would sometimes see things in broad daylight and ask her friend or family if they could see them too. If they said they could not, she would occasionally wave her hand upon them and they would immediately see the identical vision. So his mom was a witch. His grandmother was a witch. Right? Paul now found he was seeing also and would know things that were going to happen to classmates at school or were happening to absent friends. He knew simple things like who would end up with a bloody nose or who would win a race. There was a special bond between William Branham and little brother Cain in the early days of Paul's ministry. Sometimes when Branham could not meet a commitment, he would send Paul in his place. The extent of their spiritual light was phenomenal. When they called each other by phone, one would often say to the other in fun, "You're all right today. How am I?" And each would know the other's state of health precisely. You hear that? Think about that. On one occasion, Mike Bickle had been complaining to his wife that he had a bit of a sniffle or a light cold, something he rarely had. The phone rang. Bickle picked up the receiver and heard Paul on the line. He had heard about Paul's gift, so he said, by way of a joke, "Hi, Paul. You're all right today. How am I?" Immediately, Paul answered him, "Why, Mike, you've got a bit of a sniffle, and you are all wet. Your hair is standing up on the left side of your head." Bickle had just gotten out of the shower. David Pitke's Some Said It Thundered, 1991, page 24, 26, 29, and 30. A friend of ours from Australia was in a public meeting in which Cain was speaking. This man had just lost his wife, and Cain, with no knowledge of this man, pointed to him and told him so, and proceeded to name his four sons. A publisher of a famous charismatic magazine once harbored some doubts regarding Cain. Cain later met him and referred to a boat owned by the publisher and proceeded to tell him the numbers of his boat license, after which the publisher called him truly a prophet of God. Oral Stenkamp, The Plumb Line, December 2004. Between 1958 and 1987, Cain ceased public ministry and lived with his mother in accordance to a personal revelation. In 1987, Cain was accepted as a prophet and a father by the Mike Bickle and the Kansas City Fellowship because of Cain's knack for soothsaying. Bob Jones stated that Cain is the most anointed prophet that is in the world today. Visions and Revelations, interview with Mike Bickle, not to be confused with the Bob Jones University, by the way. Let's see. I think I have this back here, but I got to check and see if there's anything else. Hang on. Here we go. In 2004, the Pentecostal prophet Paul Cain was exposed as a homosexual and an alcoholic. We talked about that. A statement was issued by Rick Joyner, right? Paul admitted to these sinful practices and was placed under discipline, agreeing to a process of restoration, which the three of us would oversee. Eventually, Cain admitted his sin, saying he had struggled in two particular areas, homosexuality and alcoholism, for an extended period of time. I apologize for denying these matters of truth, rather than readily admitting them. Letter of Confession, February 2005. For four decades, Cain had claimed that he had no sexual feelings because the Lord had touched him during a visitation. He had told this story to many, including John Wimber, Mike Bickle, David Pickies, author of Some Said It Thundered, and he had used this to impress people with his prophetic mystique. Right? Paul Cain said in one meeting, I know some of you are going to disagree with this. Don't you even stop to disagree. Revelation 12:5, if you disagree, just file the miscellaneous and check it out and don't bother with it. When we get to heaven, we'll check it out and you'll find out I'm right. Right? Though William Branham denied historic Orthodox view of the Trinity, William Branham was the greatest prophet of the 20th century. This was due not to Branham's doctrines, but to his gifting in the word of knowledge. That's what Paul Cain said. So Paul Cain, he pushes Joel's army here. He said, I had a vision of you people coming from a circle of maybe 100 miles, and I saw people coming from every major city within the circumference, and a great conclave was taking place, and it was the training of Joel's army. I believe that people are going to come together by the thousands and train for the army of the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, that's long overdue. Here we have Todd Bentley. Now, Todd Bentley gives his, lets Paul Cain come in and gives his blessing, right?
Now, something sweet for all of you that are, you know, I've been a celibate all my life and I wanted to get married. Are you Chad? Yeah, right there.
He said, I've been celibate all my life and wanted to get married. Why didn't you get married? Why didn't you just get married?
Chad, I've got a wonderful thing with you. When I looked at you tonight,
Chad.
Good. Oh, good. All right. The Lord's good. Listen, Chad, this is the most wonderful thing. You have the easiest spirit to discern of anybody ever seen except Todd Hunter. I'm not Todd Hunter, but I mean Todd Bentley. Todd, yes, Todd, what's the other one? Rolls Royce, all right. But listen, when I looked at you, you look like you might be married. You look like you might be a family man, but you're not quite that old yet. But when I looked at you, the Lord showed me that your deepest heart's desire was to be a family man and to have children. Is that right? All right. But let me tell you, he's not only going to do this for you, but he's going to release this to a lot of young people who have stayed pure before the Lord.
He's going to release a lot of this. Why does anything have to be released? God made man to desire a woman. Therefore shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Why do you have to have some special anointing to get married? Why do you need some special release of something to get married? Why do you have to have some special outpouring and some witch's touch for you to be married? It's just, it's stupid. It's these people live in this like make-believe fairy tale land of garbage. Like, I can't just wake up in the morning and follow God's word and ignore whatever else is there or fight the devil and whatever else I have to. I need some special anointing all the time just to do anything. It's just, it's ridiculous.
A clean, oh, I'm new at this. So you stay clean and pure before the Lord. And just about every one of Todd's interns, both male and female, I've discerned a lot of purity in them. You know, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, done but those with clean hands and a pure heart? Listen.
I mean, Todd Bentley is like geeking out in this video. He's just like jumping up and down, geeking out. Like, he's straight up got a devilish tick to him. And he can't like sit still for like 5 seconds. He's just twitching like a demon. He reminds me of the guy when I was on the street about a month ago with Brother Aaron. We were out preaching. All of us were out preaching, and this guy wouldn't stop twitching. He just kept twitching, and he was charismatic, and he wanted to lay hands on Aaron. We were like, no. And Aaron and the guy got mad, and he's like twitching everywhere. It's like twitching. And he's saying he's dropping F-bombs on us and cussing us out and everything. Don't worry, we're going to get to Rick Joyner and all the guys, but
the Lord has got he's got such great plans for you. He tells me that you've had a kind of a romantic heart, which is a romantic heart, and your heart flutters. Your heart
you have like a romantic heart. And, I mean, there's going to be some really great things happening for you in the future. It's so stupid. Who would sit there and wait for some jackass like this to do this for them? I'm sorry, but who in the world would sit there and let some guy do this?
Blood that flows through your heart like a murmur, and you have a frill that, you know, it goes into tachycardia. And so, you know, it's uncomfortable, but yet sometimes it's the power of God. Your heart trouble is since...
Wait, sometimes your heart trouble is the power of God? Sometimes your heart trouble is the power of God. What in the world are you talking about? When you have a toe ache, it's not like, oh man, my toe hurts. That must be the power of God because my toe hurts.
You were young, and it's going to go completely away. But what is so beautiful about this is that the Lord says you have already met the girl of your dreams, and you'll have the romance of the century. And that is a word from God. You're going to be one of the happiest young men in all this arena tonight. And you're going to be happy all the days of your life. You'll never have a divorce. All your children will be known of the Lord, and the Lord will write their name down in His book of remembrance as fast as they're born or some before.
It's true, Paul.
Isn't that good?
Paul, it's true. Boom.
Paul, it's true. Boom. How is that even true?
Paul, I saw the angel. And when you came out here tonight, Paul, the angelic activity was released in the stadium. and then I turned around.
Okay, where does the Bible say that angelic? Where does it say that? Sarah, let me stop and say something. You said jackass. That means you're angry and you're possessed, sir. Let me help you out with something. If I called him a Jenny ass, that would be non-descriptive. But because I called him a jackass, it's very descriptive of what he is.
And I saw Paul Kane step onto the grass. I never saw you step out onto the grass. But James Gall looked at me and he said, Todd, the angelic was just released and it was going crazy in the stands. And then I turned around and I saw you. And I realized the atmosphere changed when you came back out here tonight to step out onto this pulpit. The power of God came in, and the glory and His majesty and His holiness came in. And I felt the presence of Jesus. And you heard me say tonight, Paul, that I felt an impression that the Jesus Himself came to me. And I felt the Lord came to me.
That the Jesus Himself came to me?
Me out of honor because He was pleased that you accepted my invitation to come and release the prophetic word and the prophetic blessing. Because I'm telling you right now, God is redigging the well and there's a healing revival that's here and you saw it.
What does that even mean? That God is redigging the well. It's like they say stuff that makes absolutely no sense at all. None.
And you had the reoccurring dream and you had the reoccurring vision and you received it right here in Central Florida and right here in Central Florida.
By the way, let me ask you a question. So somebody pronounces one of these. Look how it worked out for Paul Kane. Some vision comes to him, right? And some being comes to him and tells him that he touched him and took all his sexual desire away. Right? Right? So then he doesn't do his due diligence to do what God would have him to do, follow His word. He deviates from His word and he trusts in that feeling or that vision or whatever else. Right? He trusts in that. And he ends up being a homosexual. So this guy who's told, this last guy that we saw, who's told that, hey, and your marriage is going to be perfect and you're going to have the romance of the century and everything's going to be perfect and cushy wooshy little teddy bears are going to come flowing out of your mouth when you open it and bunny rabbits are going to hop in your yard and chocolate eggs are going to fall from the sky and Twix bars are going to come floating in and it's going to be great. You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe how good it's going to be. You're never going to be mad at each other. Everything's just going to be great, and it's going to be the romance of the century, and everything's going to be great. But then people get mad at me because I say things. I call them out for what they are.
Thing has begun and it's going around the world and it's global and you being here tonight is prophetic history. And Paul, I would be honored if you would release and pray a blessing of healing revival just over every hungry heart and soul watching on the television, and they're burning in their hearts right now, Paul. And I know you were with William Branham. I know you were with, you did meetings, you traveled with the greatest healing evangelists of the late 40s and 50s, and those seeds, those healing seeds are in you, Paul. And I believe that you would release a prophetic blessing, a father's blessing, a grandfather's blessing, because you've carried the word since the 70s.
Look, he's not a father or a grandfather. Right?
70s, and you delivered the word, and for so many years, and something's begun to come to pass, and I would be honored if you would release that. I feel it stirring in my heart, Paul.
Father God, in the name of our precious Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that you've answered my prayer, that you let me live to see tokens of this revival, or be involved in it some way, and be a participant if possible. And Lord, you have never allowed me to say that I have met the new breed. Absolutely met the new breed. And when you brought Todd Bentley and I together, the angel of the Lord said, "You've found what you're looking for. This is a man without guile, just as the man was up in the tree, and what was the man? Behold,
Zacchaeus." He don't even know. He don't even know what he's talking about. He's like, "What was that man's name again?"
Zacchaeus.
No.
Nathaniel.
Behold, Nathaniel, in whom there is no guile. And I couldn't believe it when people were criticizing Todd.
Paul's just like, Todd Bentley's just like twitching like a stinking maniac the whole time.
That surely had some kind of guile in him. And the Lord spoke to me as clearly as he's ever spoken before. And I've stood by the notables and the greats that had.
Somebody asked the question over here, what is the new breed? That's Joel's army. The new breed is Joel's army. This army of invincible, charismatic warriors that are going to usher in the new age.
The greatest healing ministry of all times. And I've never met anyone that has the integrity and the possibilities of leading this thing into a worldwide revival. And I just want to confer and bless whatever I can do, whatever God has given me to do. I just place myself in an available position to hear from the Lord and to transfer and give to my brother, who has given so much to others and so much to me. Everything you've ever deposited into my life that I didn't know how to give away, I'm giving it to my brother tonight to carry on this revival until the stadiums all over the world have been catching this and have been carriers of it and taking it from one end of the world to the other. And thank you. I've met.
Looks like it's hurting a little bit. I don't know. Looks like you better back off the anointing a little bit here.
The new breed here tonight, and I appreciate it in Jesus' name. And may the Lord anoint every one of you for you to be participants and go all the way with this. And somebody didn't want me here tonight. You know who it was. It was Satan, but he's tried every way in the world to clog my mind, to plug my mind, but it's coming unplugged, and you better let me go now before I go wild. Amen. But while I was praying for the young man with the heart, the thing, the tachycardia, all of that, the Lord showed me that it could be about 300 people here go home free from the effects of atrial fibrillation of all kinds.
So 300 people there have atrial fibrillation, and you were just shown that, and they're going to just walk out free?
Of murmurs. Some you were born with, all kinds of discomfort. And you prayed for someone last night, and I felt there were many of those here that have congestive heart failure. You have to sit up in bed to get your breath at night, and your feet swell, and you have to take all kinds of diuretics to keep breathing, keep going. How about letting God heal 300 people, mass healings of every kind of heart trouble there is? Just stand on your feet. Stand on your feet and say, "I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I have trouble in my feet with it. I have trouble, symptoms all over my body. I have tachycardia. I have palpitations. I have disorganized beats in my heart, missed beats, double beats. Look, I can't see you, but wave your hands if you're standing with any kind of heart trouble. Yeah, are there about 300 out there? I'm not going to settle for less than 300 people going home with their heart. I will wave your hand.
I'm not going to settle for less than 300 people going home with their heart. Did you hear what he said?
Press your heart. Yeah, praise God. 300 people are going home tonight without atrial fibrillation, without ever having to have a cardiac arrest. God's going to heal you and heal your varicose veins and open your arteries and unplug the cholesterol. You're going to be thinking right, taking you out.
So that means you can eat whatever you want because Paul's put the prophetic mojo on you. And once the mojo is on you, it is double, triple cheeseburger time with the triple large fry with a big old fat shake. Right? Telling you. Oh boy. We have an anti-Jason Cooley on here. Well, of course. Of course you do. Look. I'm telling you, you can eat deep fried Twinkies all day long. You're good, man. Ain't gonna matter.
Out of the stroke range tonight. Taking you out of the stroke range. Just go back to your doctors and ask them if you...
Look, taking you out of the stroke range tonight. Deep fat fried Oreos for everybody in the club. Everybody! Deep fat fried Oreos on the whole crowd tonight. Don't you worry about that heart problem. Throw your insulin away. Right? Right?
Still need all of these things. You may not need them anymore. Amen. This is part of the last day revival. Well, I've done my part. I'm getting out of here.
We honor a great prophet of the Lord that's got such a great prophetic history. And it's an honor for us to be able to hear and receive from Paul Kane tonight. And we pray for him, and you pray for him wherever you're watching around the world. Let a double portion anointing come on his life and ministry today. James. And may God anoint every new breed that's out there. That's saying, God, I want to be a part. Who's saying that? Every new breed that's out there tonight. Lord, anoint them, 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 raise up.
Hear the mantra? Hear the mantra so they can call up devils?
New breed. Raise up a healing army, oh God. You said
Jim Wilford. Jim said, the guy sounds like Hulk Hogan giving out prayer advice. Oh, it is Hulk Hogan. It's Hogan handing out prayer and vitamins. You kids eat your say your prayers and eat your vitamins, kids. Hulk Hogan here. Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Oh man, that's too much, man. That's too much. He sounds like a satanic auctioneer. Oh, he does. Oh no. Oh, it's unbelievable, man. People believe this stuff, though, man. They believe it.
Said this day was coming, a Joel's army being released, and we're saying it's here and it's now, and we're not going back.
Man, that guy is spooky. We're gonna talk about him. We're going to talk about him. you know, we're going to talk about, oh, all right. I haven't watched this video yet, but we got a few minutes, and I think this is...
And I'm going to have my wife, Jessa, share a dream that she had.
Okay. Do you notice the music as the music plays softly while his new wife, Jessa, shows a dream?
And I'm going to tell you what God's been speaking to me about. And I believe it's the key that's going to release the greatest miracle anointing for the church. Jessa.
So a couple of nights ago, I had a dream where Oral Roberts was speaking to Todd. I didn't understand what they're saying, but I remember they were talking. And then he looked over and he saw me and he stopped. And he ran over to me and he put his hands over my eyes and he said, "What do you see?" And so I looked and I didn't see anything at first. And then all of a sudden I saw this elephant racing across my eye. And Oral Roberts said, he put his hands over my eyes and said, "What do you see?" And I said, I didn't see anything at first. And then all of a sudden I saw this elephant racing across my eyes. And it was dancing. It was going crazy. It was just, it had this big smile and it was just going crazy. And I said, "It's a wild elephant. I see a wild elephant." And then I said, what's with the elephant?" He said, "Exactly. What is it with the elephant?" And then I looked again, and in that vision, what was highlighted was the trunk of the elephant. I said, "It's the elephant nose." And he said, "Yes." And I said, "It's discernment." And he said, "Exactly." And then he says, "Do you see the lion?" And I closed my eyes again. And then I saw the lion. And the lion, it was just a golden lion. And I woke up. And when I woke up, literally, I woke up in the middle of the night. And I just felt like the Lord was highlighting things to me about the dream. And in the dream, I thought it was pretty ironic that Oral Roberts put his hands, he covered my eyes and said, "What do you see?" And I thought that was interesting because he's covering my eyes. What do you see? And I felt like the Lord was saying that even more so now, for the church today, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. What do you see? You know, I didn't see anything at first until I really looked and I pressed in, you know, and I saw the wild elephant. And so when the elephant came running in, and I said, "What is it with it?" So it's almost like, what's with walking by faith? How do you walk by faith and not by...
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying not to laugh because it's not really funny. It's funny because it's so stupid, but people actually take it serious. It's like, so I saw this elephant. And this elephant... This elephant is like discernment. It's like, that is why women shouldn't speak. That's right, Jim. But I'm like, wait a minute. Why? What's up with this elephant? Like, how does that discernment?
By discerning the times and the seasons, just like the sons of Issachar, discerning, that's what gives you hope when you're walking through a hard time and you're, you know, walk by faith when everything around you looks dark and dim, is discerning the times and season by getting a hope from God. Getting a hope from God. To be able to see, to discern the times and the seasons that's ahead of you. And the thing about the elephant, it wasn't just an ordinary elephant. It was a wild elephant. A wild elephant. It was radical, 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 radical. And the elephant means a great impact. And I really felt like what happened in Lakeland was just the beginning. It's just an introductory. It's just an introduction. Just a table of contents of what's to come. And I felt like the great impact is greater, greater, greater. It's the great impact. And the greatest impact that you can have is bringing the kingdom of God to earth. It's to give an encounter of Jesus Christ to every single person. That's the greatest impact we can have. The great impact is the great revival. It's the great harvest. Whew. and it's going to be wild, wild. It's going to be much greater than it was before, much greater. And the next thing, the last thing about the dream is once we as a church pray for revival and seek revival, that it becomes a lifestyle, just like Todd was saying, a lifestyle, not just something we contend for, we want, but a lifestyle, that we live in a culture of revival, then boldness is released upon the church. And that was the lion when he said, do you see the lion? Because we need the wild elephant first before we can get the lion.
What in the world was that? Okay, so the wild elephant, all right? The wild elephant. You got to see the wild elephant before you see the lion. I'm trying not to laugh. I'm sorry, but it's so ridiculous that people actually showed up for this. But the Bible talks about the lion, right? And the lion is Satan, the one that comes as a roaring lion. And here she is talking about lions. There's no Bible in anything that she said at all. There's absolutely no Bible. She didn't have one thing to do with the Bible there. It was all about her feelings of everything. Right? Like, so they're living in a bunch of fornication, right? He left his wife, ditched his wife for this hussy here. So hussy number two gets up on stage, and she gives the prophetic hussy Jezebel speech of radical elephants. Yeah, Jezebel. That's right, Jose. And she gives like this prophetic speech. And I'm like, I don't know if that's demonic or it's just stupid.
And then that's where the boldness of the church is released.
Sheikah. My wife's got some wildfire.
He said, my wife has some wild fire. Is that what you call that? Right? Is that what you call that? Is wild fire? Okay, so let me ask you a question. What does that have to do with repentance, faith, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ? What does it have to do with the gospel? What does that do with a radical change of mind that leads to a change of action and sorrow in the heart? What does it have to do with the gospel? And I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't laugh, but I can't. I mean, it's just, there's this cynical side to me that when I see things like that, I'm just like, this is so stupid. And and people actually show up and call this church. And I almost think they want to be deceived by this, right? Like, they actually want to be deceived by this. But it reminds me of Elijah. Watch this. In 1 Kings 18:25, Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself and dress it first, for ye are many, and call in the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Right? He mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And what did that do? It made him mad. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed upon them. So right? So Elijah, he mocked them. And that's what I'm doing, is mocking them. I'm mocking that. That false, fake, phony spirit. Right? Which is there. Anyway, we're done here today pretty much. I think you got the picture of it. And I just couldn't stop laughing. I'm sorry. It was just so stupid. Anyway, and the music, the whole music thing is just creepy. Right. So, somebody said here, I see everyone, Trump called himself the chosen one and the king of the Jews. Yeah, he did call himself the king of the Jews. I'm not a Trumpster. I am the official "you got Trumped" pastor. Remember that? Go back to my archives and you will see the "You Got Trumped" series. Remember that? If you forgot that, go back and listen to the "You Got Trumped" series. You know? No, Trump's not the Antichrist. Because Democrats hate him. Right? It is tragic how many are deceived by false prophets. Absolutely it is. But for anybody to think that that's the spirit of God and that's how God operates in this unintelligible, absolutely ridiculously foolish way is nonsense. But anyway, so Friday, again, I don't think I'm going to be broadcasting Friday, but I don't know. I might surprise you in the morning. I don't know. I have a meeting, though, sometime mid-morning. And then I have to leave at 3. We're meeting at 3 to leave for preaching. So I don't think I'll be there, but I could possibly do one. Right. Trump is a narcissist. And no, he's not saved. Well, for all of you that don't know, the Jesuits are masters of the Kabbalah. They are masters of the numbering of the in the Kabbalah. They are masters of the Kabbalistic writings. They understand them better than anyone. And I mean anyone. But we're not doing a series on the Jesuits yet. But sometime we will. Anyway, so I would ask that you pray for us. We're going into a very involved time of preaching and teaching. And a lot of evangelism, a lot of tracts. Last night, Brother Ryan and I worked and his family last night, and we put together about 3,000 tracks last night, and we've got many, many, many more to do. We bought 10,000, so we're hoping to get out by the end of by the second week of September, second weekend of September. We are hoping to get out around 17,000 tracks. Right? So we're working on it, and just pray for us. We're pretty excited and we got a lot to do. I appreciate it, Brother Jim. We could definitely use your prayers. You know what this weekend's like. You've been up here before, so you understand all these challenges and all that goes into it and how Satan fights and everything else. So you've been around for that. So just pray for us that the Lord would bless the work that we do and keep our minds and hearts strong and pray for me. It's better for me to keep busy during these times and to pray and to study the scriptures and everything else. Do I have a link for that video? Man, do you really want one? Holy buckets. Let's see here. Oh. I think I can do that. There it is. Oh, sorry about the comment on the bottom of that. That was for earlier. Please keep doing this so we can have real news every day between you and Pastor Hoggard. Yeah, well, praise the Lord. I plan on it by God's grace. I plan on keeping busy and, you know, continuing on for the Lord. It's not without its struggles and its trials, though I will tell you that. When I surrendered to do this and really, you know, broadcast weekly and everything like that, eventually the war came, you know, the devil came attacking. So he doesn't like this for us to help people and to get the truth out there. So you keep praying for us though, because we need it. It is a challenge. For sure. So we'll just keep praying that the Lord would bless, though, and you keep praying for us, and that God would bless all the work that we do here coming up. It's going to be a busy time for us. Busy, busy, busy time all the way to October, really. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Keep praying for Pastor Hoggard and his family as well, as his wife is battling cancer. You pray for her. Pray for them. And pray for the Lord. Pray for the Lord to continue to meet our needs and to take care of us, and take care of the ministry and all the needs that we have for that. Just be in prayer for all that for us, and we really appreciate that, and we're very thankful for that, and thankful for all the Lord does for us. And definitely pray. It could be. I don't care. EJ Love, he's not my enemy. I really don't care where it comes from. He might consider me an enemy, but I'm not his enemy. Okay, I'm not here to fight him. I'm here to fight the devil. You know, so... who knows? I don't know whose channel that is. I'm really not very worried about it, to be honest with you. I'm not here to fight him, or I'm here to fight the devil. I'm here to tell the truth about what's going on out there in this world and try to help others. I'm not here to fight anybody else like that, and I don't have any time for that. I really don't care what people say about me. I don't have time to worry about it. God's called me to minister to people and to pastor this church and to raise my family for the Lord and to stay devoted to Him and help others. So that's what I intend to do, not get in little tiffs with people. I don't have time for it. This stuff that we're talking about is real heresy. It's real damnable heresy. It's real damnable doctrine that needs to be exposed. And people get mad at me when I talk about these doctrines, and all the devils come out when you talk about this stuff, and boy, do they hate it. But you know what? We run across these people all the time, these charismatics. They're always around. They're always come up while we're preaching, and they infiltrate the preaching, and they try to ruin conversations. They try to do all that stuff. They want us to stop. So, you know, that's, and finally, I'm just dealing with the subject, and I'm going to continue to deal with it. I think it's wise to continue on with this until we get through a bunch of it. You know, so That's good. Jesus is my God. I'm glad that the Disney video was a blessing to you. Yeah, anti-Disney video. But I'm glad it was, and it helps. Yeah, John MacArthur's another one. Yep. I mean, the scary thing about John MacArthur is I don't think there's a better writer against the charismatic movement than John MacArthur. His book on counterfeit charismania is really good. But John MacArthur bothers me in a thousand ways because of his doctrine of the blood and his taking the mark. Those two things bother me badly. And I just they do. But anyway, so I hate that. You know, I hate those. But anyway. So anyway, what do you think of Ed Feniger? I don't know who that is. I do not know who that is. Kristen Hadley, I don't know who that is. Yep. It's not easy. There's no coasting in this Christian life, right? That's right. Taking the mark would send you straight to hell. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I just don't understand him really in a lot of ways. It's a really confusing situation. I'm talking about MacArthur, that is. But it's just really strange. Really strange stuff. That one's a very hard one. I appreciate your prayers. I'm very grateful for them. Very grateful for them. And, you know, that the Lord leads you to do that. Please continue to. We need it. And we'll just keep praising the Lord. Amen. But we'll let you go here. And maybe, just maybe if I have time, on Friday, I'll pick it up maybe for an hour or something. I don't know. It just depends. I wouldn't mind doing current event Friday and just doing it for an hour, but it depends on if I have time. I've got to get through my Bible devotions, my study materials, you know, my sermons and all kinds of stuff. I got a lot of work to do. So there's just a lot to do. And I am a limited time right now because, well, Saturday we won't start till a little bit later so I can work on my Sunday sermon and things like that. But Saturday, we're going preaching. Sunday, we're going preaching. Friday night, we're going preaching. So we're going to be busy. And it just limits my time for study and everything. And, you know, trying to get everything, you know, trying to get everything, add things to that is sometimes not possible. So we'll see what the Lord allows. But anyway, have a good night. I got to get ready for, I got to go run on the elliptical. And then I got to run, and then we'll have church tonight. And I'll be preaching back in the book of Acts chapter 5, right? Acts chapter 5. So we're back in there, expository preaching through the book of Acts. Looking forward to that, being back in the book of Acts. Amen. All right, God bless you all. Take care. Share these videos, and don't forget to like them and share them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all over the place, okay? God bless you all.